Today's Holy Gospel introduces us to an important man, one who would play a significant role after the death of Jesus. His name is Nicodemus, an Orthodox member of the Sanhedrin, or the ruling party of the temple in Jerusalem. Nicodemus was an important Jew, a respected leader, and a religious teacher who did not want to jeopardize his position by getting caught talking to Jesus. Because the high priest and the Pharisees were so opposed to Jesus that they wouldn't take kindly to one of the temple leaders going to talk privately with Jesus. And so Nicodemus snuck out at night to come and talk with Jesus. He had questions that he felt only Jesus could answer. He was so transformed by his time with Jesus that he and another leader of the temple, Joseph of Arimathea, took Jesus down from the cross so that he could be prepared for burial. It was these two men who laid Jesus in Joseph of Arimathea's garden tomb to rest. You may have heard the old expression, born with a silver spoon in his or her mouth. You may have heard that from time to time. Usually refers to someone being born to a wealthy or very fortunate family. Usually one with an inheritance, what might be referred to as birthright. The Judaism that Nicodemus and Jesus both knew had a good deal to do with being born into the right family. What mattered most was being a child of Abraham. Of course, there were other things that mattered too, but being of the family of Father Abraham was the basic necessity. Now, Jesus is saying, God is starting a new family in which this ordinary birth isn't enough. You need to be born all over again, born a second time. The new birth that Jesus is talking about is the same thing that has been spoken of in John 1:33, where John the Baptist said, I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Water and Spirit here must mean the double baptism. Baptism in water, which brings people into the kingdom movement, begun by John the Baptist and continued by the apostles, Jesus' disciples. And baptism in the Spirit, the new life, bubbling up from within that Jesus offers, which is the main thing that the New Testament is about. Having a relationship with Jesus that transforms. And these two baptisms are closely joined. This double-sided new birth, which brings you into the visible community of Jesus' followers, water baptism, and gives you the new life of the Spirit welling up like a spring of water inside of you, Spirit baptism, was now required for membership in God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a clear example of this new birth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now I'm going to ask you for the interactive part of this sermon. In your pews is a red book. It is our pew Bible. And I'm going to ask you to turn to page 1650. This is the first of many times in the coming months and weeks that I will ask you to use the pew Bibles. That's what they're there for. And they're large print, so even guys like me can see them. Page 1650 to John chapter 3. And this is the best way I feel that we can examine these important verses together. John 3, page 1650. In verse 3, Jesus says, without it you can't even see God's kingdom. And Jesus replies, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. The Spirit of God is on the move, like a fresh spring breeze. Please look at verse 8 of John chapter 3. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. The word for wind in both Hebrew and Greek is the same word that you would use for spirit. And no human family, tribe, or organization, or even system can keep up with it. Opening the window and letting the breeze in can be very inconvenient, especially for people like Nicodemus of this world, who suppose they've got things all tidied up and in neat little bundles and sorted piles, labeled, you know. But unless we're prepared to listen to this very dangerous message, we aren't ready to listen to the gospel at all. Let's go down to verse 10 of chapter 3. We'll look at verses 10 to 13. We have the first of many passages in which Jesus speaks about a new order, which in all truth is the sort of knowing. It's a way of knowing that comes from God, from heaven. He says, "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man." It's pretty humbling for Nicodemus to have to be told this. He's, after all, a very well-respected and senior teacher in the temple. But this way of knowing, this new knowledge we get through it, is given by the mysterious Son of Man. It's easy for us to say, well, that's Jesus. But this was all new to Nicodemus. He'd never been told in this manner before. As a teacher of the scriptures, he was probably familiar with the term Son of Man, which comes from the prophet Daniel in chapter 7, verse 13. But I'm sure that the thought of being born again had him a little rattled, to say the least. If we want to understand not only the heavenly world, but the way in which God is now joining heaven and earth together, we must listen to Jesus and walk with him on the road that he's now to take. Jesus then tells Nicodemus that as Moses lifted up the pole with the image of a snake on it in the wilderness, which refers to Numbers 21, 8 through 9, you see, there had been snakes all over, and people were getting bitten like crazy, and they were dying. And Moses went to the Father and said, "What can we do?" And God instructed Moses to build a pole with an image of a snake on it, and anyone who looked at the snake, not just a glance, but stared at the snake, would be healed, would be saved. And Jesus is saying that the Son of Man will be lifted up in a similar manner, but not on a pole, on a cross. The Son of Man had to be lifted up as well, as we see in verse 15 on page 1651. "That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Nicodemus is about to get the identity of the Son of Man. He's about to hear and see who the Son of Man is. And he'll see that he's talking right to him. The words that come next are some of the most famous in all of Scripture. You may have seen it in end zones at football games. Somebody there with maybe a colorful wig and holding a sign that says John 3:16. Also basketball games. DJ will tell you he's probably seen it at football games that he's played. Maybe once or twice. And I'd like you to read them with me. Please, let's read these words together. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Good job. Right here, Jesus sums up to Nicodemus and the whole world that God's invitation is open to everyone to believe and to be saved by God through his Son. It is not, and let me stress this, it is not a closed or exclusive club, but this invitation is open to the whole world that God created and loves. But there are some, and I might add far too many, who reject the offer to go their own way and to do their own thing. If that makes you sad, just think how the Father feels. Just think how the Son feels and how the Holy Spirit feels. How would you feel if you went to knock on someone's door, ring their bell, because you wanted to tell them something, and they slammed the door in your face? That's what everyone who rejects Jesus does. Let's do some more reading on page 1651. You're so good at it. Let's see how God feels about this, because Jesus tells us exactly God's feelings and his response. You don't have to read this out loud. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And now, after the door being slammed in the face, this is God's response. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Why don't we hear those words whenever we hear John 3:16? I venture to say that these words are unspoken because they're not very popular in the media, in many circles of industry or commerce. Because these words of faith, of truth, make non-believers very uncomfortable. You might hear them say things like, how could a loving God not accept other beliefs or other religions? Our answer to them should simply be, God loves you, and he wants you to accept his invitation, plain and simple. You don't show up at a black tie formal in your underwear or in your shorts and a t-shirt, do you? You accept the conditions of the invitation, or you don't go. Doesn't that make sense? That's what God's saying. Accept the conditions of the invitation. Believe, or you don't go. Let's go a little further on the same page. On page 1651, verses 19 to 21. This is the verdict, Jesus says. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Wow. You mean that time when you were a child and you took that extra cookie? God saw it. I won't even begin to say other things that we've done in our lives that God's seen. But he forgives. And that's the best part of the good news. We're treading on some very unpopular words here in these verses. Words that have caused some religious leaders to claim that there are other ways than Jesus to the Father. I believe every word that Jesus said to Nicodemus. Words that may have been swept under the rug because the Bible doesn't fit someone's agenda. Agendas and cultural changes should not dictate to the Bible. But we need to get back to where the Bible dictates whose agendas and cultures should change to be in accord with the Word of God. Jesus said in verse 14 of chapter 3 in John's Gospel that the Son of Man must be lifted up, and that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus was convinced of what Jesus told him, that he became a believer and was there for Jesus at the very end of his earthly life. In closing, my brothers and sisters, it's clear. Believe in Jesus as Lord, and he will be there at the end of your earthly life to welcome you into his kingdom. Jesus, the Son of Man, is the way, the truth, and the life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.